Hello everyone and welcome to episode 70 of season 11 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast, where we curry our way through the 2001 award-winning HBO miniseries Band of Brothers, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is David Brook from Blueprint Review. Welcome back once again, David.
Hello, pleasure to be back as always.
Yes. You know, you could take a little breather, just like Doc Rowe is doing.
Yep. Thankfully, it's not snowing over here.
No, not snowing. We're good with that. I mean, I heard, and I'm pretty sure that it's true here, that this entire scene of Vestone is like on a huge soundstage.
Oh wow. Wow, they've done a good job with it.
Yeah. Again, that's what I heard. Whether it's true or not, I can't tell you 100%.
I guess it might make sense with having to. I mean, it's doable because we talked about at the end of the last episode how, because it's so kind of overcast and foggy, that it's easy enough to just put a bit of smoke in the background or white background or whatever, and it's probably easy enough to pull off. But I guess it makes it easier to control, like, the fake snow and all this kind of stuff as well. If it was outside, it'd be a nightmare. Not that it's that easy to do inside, but you know what I mean? Easy to manage and maintain and keep it there. Because it might, especially if they're filming in the UK, like 75% of the time it's going to start raining and destroy all the fake snow that they've put out everywhere. So, no, it wouldn't surprise me.
I assume that's a little bit of a problem. Yeah, you're right. Interesting. All right, so episode 70 begins with Doc exhaling and ends with, surprise, surprise, someone else needs Doc. So yesterday we spent most of the 5 minutes watching Doc run from place to place, trying to scrounge around and trying to find a pair of scissors. Or trying to find... Is he trying to find an extra pair of scissors or just trying to find a pair of scissors? What do you think?
I think I'm presuming just one pair, I guess.
No, but maybe it's not for him. Maybe it's, he wants to have a spare one around. I don't know.
Mm.
No, I agree with you. I assume that it is, that he needs just the one.
Mm.
But we shall... have to wait and see if he's going to be able to get it here at all.
Mm.
And, I mean, we get a few seconds of Doc just taking it all in and, finally being in a position where he can take a little break. And then the shot changes and we see Spina and Babe walking, through the snowy forest. And the two of them have an interesting conversation, because then Babe says, he told me he was a goddamn virgin. He goes, who? He goes, the replacement in my foxhole, Julian. He goes, yeah. He goes, goddamn virgin. Here's the kid. And then he goes, the only virgin I know is Virgin Mary. And, the two of them just continue down, I would say down the road, but down the path, I guess, through the woods. And then Spina goes, hey, babe, where the hell are we? He goes, this way. He goes, I don't like it. He goes, where the hell's 3rd Battalion? And as he says that, Spina then falls into what seems to be just a hole in the ground, or obviously a foxhole. He's going to be quite surprised with what he's going to discover here.
Oh yeah, it's a brilliant moment. This, actually, I love this, because as at first you think it's a bit of comedy, it's like, oh, he's buggered over, and then when you realise what's in there, it's terrifying. And it's I love that little moment.
Yeah,
absolutely, like, love it.
He falls into the snow and he goes, come on.
Yeah,
and Babe starts laughing at him. And then we see that there's a German soldier that was apparently in a foxhole. And then Spina goes, come on, give me a hand. Go. And the two of them just take off and start running as the German soldier starts shooting at them or in their direction. And he goes, "Come on, Spina, move." He goes, "I'm moving." He goes, "Get moving, come on, go." And two of them are just running and running and running, trying to stay as safe as possible in the situation. But I gotta say, I love the way that they do this, because you'd think that falling into a foxhole of the enemy is immediate death. Yeah, that's why Talbert, all those a few weeks ago, was the fact that he got stabbed by Smith in the middle of the night. So it you'd think that the German who's in this foxhole would be doing the same thing as soon as he would see that the enemy is getting close by.
Yeah, you thought he'd have been watching out for them or something, but yeah, he must have been, I know, sleeping or something. You didn't know, because it weren't. It's not like they were being quiet either. So
No.
there's a bit of a surprise. He must have been asleep or something.
Apparently. And the two of them just get the hell out of there and need to find a way to get to safety. And managed to do so. Now I'm looking at I mean the fact that he's in this hole where the German is. How was the German breathing? Like, what was he doing in that particular spot?
I don't know. I don't know. It is unusual. Yeah, you'd have thought they'd be a little further apart as well, but they obviously got a bit lost though. But it is an odd bit.
Yeah, no,
I don't know if it's.
I don't have an explanation for that.
Is it in the book, this bit? Actually, I
No,
don't know the book. Did you say you've compared
I
it?
did not
No.
find that part in the book about him falling into
It does seem what.
falling into a foxhole.
Yeah. It does seem slightly far-fetched, at least how it plays out. So I wonder, I don't know. But again, it's the way the kind of dedication they had to this show. A part of me feels like they would
Oh, wait a
get
second. They do
everything
have
from
it.
some kind of
No, they do have it
story.
here. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. Okay. So on page 145 of the book, it says German soldiers were not the only ones who got lost that day. Medic Ralph Spina, and Private Ed Babe Heffron went back into Bastogne to scrounge up some medical supplies. At the aid station, Spina got what he needed. The 101st was already running low on medical supplies. Major problem. The two E Company men grabbed the hot meal, and although they hated to leave the stove with darkness coming on, they set out for the line. Heffron suggested a shortcut through across a wooded area. Spina agreed. Heffron led the way. Suddenly, he fell into a hole. There was a shout of surprise. Then a voice called out from under Heffron, "Hinkle, Hinkle, is das Dui?" Heffron came barreling out of the foxhole and took off in the opposite direction, yelling, "Hinkle your ass, Kraut!" He and Spina got reoriented, and finally found the E Company CP. Spina,
So it did
who
happen. That's
recalled the
crazy.
incident, concluded, "To this day, every time I see Babe, I ask him how Hinkle is feeling, or if he has seen Hinkle lately." So,
Crazy.
it's actually very funny the way that they do that. And then they actually do reach I guess 3rd Battalion, and we hear one of the guys from 3rd Battalion say, "Okay, we can spare a few bandages, but that's it." He goes, "No morphine?" He goes, "You're gonna have to go back to the Bastogne for plasma." "Bastogne, it took us an hour to find you. Doesn't your surgeon have plasma?" He goes, "We don't have one. No surgeon, no aid station, nothing. Just me and my buddy. Sorry guys, but we just can't help." The guy is amicable with the fact that he can't give him anything, but still, it's nicely done.
There's a, I don't know if you've already talked about plasma in any of the previous episodes.
Not really, not in detail, but whatever you want to talk about is fine.
Okay, because again, there's a little bit of a fact on that about plasma. But yeah, basically, plasma is the liquid component of blood in which the blood cells travel. The average adult human body contains 10 to 12 pints of blood, 6 pints of which are plasma. So yeah, that's what they're using on those guys. There's another fact of it later on in the episode, but I have to try and find where that one is. But
Right. I mean, I know that in funnily, it came up yesterday, but in Hacksaw Ridge they talk a lot about plasma also.
Oh no, here it is. Yeah, actually, there's another fact later saying about how actually dried plasma was developed during the war, allowing the plasma to be transported and stored by frontline medical staff and used when needed. So I guess obviously liquid plasma would be more difficult to keep fresh and travel around. And yeah, and according to this, by the end of the war, the American Red Cross had collected and processed over 6 million standard Army Navy plasma
Wow.
packages. So yeah, very important part of the whole war, really.
Wow. That's an amazing figure. And I wonder how many soldiers were saved because of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then more shelling. And the soldier screams at him, "Take cover!" And then he goes, "Get your butts out of here. We're pulling out." And he goes, "Come on, let's go. Go, move." And they start running out of there. And then Spina says the line that I just read from the book. He goes, "Should have shot Hinkle in the ass." And he would have shot him in the ass.
I think that little bit that happened then as well. You get to see some more of the kind of solidly constructed trenches, which you don't see quite as often, at least not in this episode. To me, I always when I see a trench like that, it makes me think more of World War One. So it's nice to see them running through those. It makes for cool shots as well.
I mean, you're right. It doesn't look like a it. It's not your typical foxhole. It looks like a trench, which is dug in quite.
I guess it's not as wide and kind of deep as the World War One ones, I guess, but it's got a bit of that feel of it.
I mean, I've seen World War One movies before and stuff like that, but until I saw 1917, I didn't realize the vastness of the whole idea of trenches.
Yeah, it must have taken a lot of work to dig them out. Huge. And they didn't have, yeah, they wouldn't just brought a diggers in and stuff. It's, yeah, it's quite an achievement.
And they've had enough. They want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Again, it's a great way for them to show us, how these guys were moving from place to place, trying to scrounge whatever they could, which makes sense. That's what they need. And then we're back with Doc Rowe, who's sitting there with Malarkey and Muck, and we see the laughing, "God bless you." And then there's like a really strange conversation. Malarkey goes, and it looks like they've been given some slop to eat in their tin cups. Someone was making some food, and decided to go and hand it out to everybody. And then Malarkey goes, "Yo, this smells like my armpit." He goes, "Well, at least your armpit's warm." He goes, "Do you want syrup with that?" He goes, "Joe, be honest. What's in these things anyway?" And then Joe Toy says, "Nothing you won't eat, Malarkey." And then someone says, "I won't eat Malarkey." And he goes, Hey, maybe Hinkle would like your share, huh?" It makes a lot of sense now, the whole Hinkle comment.
There is a little bit of a mini fact about the kind of food coming back and forth. He's kind of saying that between the kind of German shelling, Joe Dominguez and the other company cooks, they'd try and bring hot meals up to the soldiers on the line, but because it was so cold, by the time and it was a bit of a walk, by the time they reached the foxholes, the food was cold half the time. So I guess that's part of what they kind of showed in that scene as well.
Right. Well, it makes sense.
And when it's that cold, like you kind of want something hot, but it's not gonna happen.
Right. But what's great here though is that the way that we see the reactions. So I mean, these guys are in a foxhole, and they're just laughing it up when they could be in grave danger with where they are. But
I guess it's a mixture of kind of like what we talked about before, just a part of staying alive, I think, is just kind of trying to not always make light of it, but just enjoy each other's company while you can. And but I think another part of it might just be just getting used to it. If they're there, they've been a while, they're probably used to hearing bombs blowing up everywhere, and it's just become a sad truth sort of thing. And just they just deal with it and just carry on.
right.
It's weird.
And I mean, then they can do this whole conversation because I should have shot him when I had the chance. What, running backwards, babe? And then someone goes, anyone seen Lieutenant Dyke? Try Battalion CP, sir. Someone goes, try Paris. Someone goes, try Hinkle. They all start laughing and they go, Hinkle, sweetie, I'm home. And then they say, they acknowledge Doc Rowe. They go, hey, Eugene, Lieutenant Dyke's got a full aid kit. Try him. Yeah, I'm sure he's not using his. And then someone goes, maybe Hinkle's got a strat for you. Here, Strudel. Hey, Hinkle Winkle, eat the armpit, huh? So, again, it's a great moment of camaraderie between these guys. And I really enjoy listening to it, even though it bothers me that they're doing this in the middle of, being shelled. Just from that perspective. And then Doc shows up at the foxhole where Lieutenant Dyke is, and he goes, Lieutenant Dyke, Lieutenant, can you spare something from your aid kit? And he goes, well, I'm real short. He goes, I need Surratt's. And then Dyke goes, what, morphine? He goes, yes, sir. He goes, what happens if I get hit? He goes, I'll be there, sir. And he picks up the aid kit and he goes, Surratt's in here, right? He goes, yes, it is. He hands it to him. He goes, I don't plan on getting hit. And he goes, thank you, sir. So, I mean, we mentioned a little bit that Dyke is a little out there. And this once again shows the relationship that Dyke has with the men. He's doing all he can to stay as far away from the men as possible in order to go off and do whatever he needs to do and to try and keep himself safe. And the fact that he mentions, okay, what am I going to do if I get hit? Shows that he's a little concerned about something like that.
Yeah, I've got some more information about those folks. Sorry, I
Sweet,
keep going
sweet.
on my little factoids. But yeah, supposedly each soldier was given a first aid kit attached to his belt. And what it had in there was a packet of sulfur powder and a bandage to dress a wound. And what the American soldiers were told to is they were instructed to immediately sprinkle the sulfur powder on any open wound to prevent infections. That's what it was there for. It doesn't mention the morphine syrettes on here, but I guess maybe not all of the first aid kits had them in
And no
there.
one
I just
mentioned
didn't
anything
mention
about
it. But
scissors.
yeah, I get. Oh no! I guess that wasn't in everybody's kit. No.
Well, he's asking basically everybody. That's the irony. He's not only asking like commanders or someone who might also be another medic or something like that. He's saying he's shooting in all directions. Then the shot changes and we're back with Heffron, and he starts coughing. And Roe comes over and goes, Heffron, hey Heffron, you okay? He goes, Gene, what is it with the Heffron boy? You know my name. Why don't you use it? Edward, right? It was Edward. Are you serious? He goes, only the goddamn nuns called me Edward. Listen, I need to know whether you kept your morphine from Holland. He goes, no, you asked me already, remember? No, I don't recall. So again, it's showing a little bit of the fatigue also. In this whole thing, that Doc Rowe is adamant in trying to find a way to get these supplies, and he's just going to go from person to person, even if he's repeating the same question over and over to someone who's he's already asked it to. So I like the way that they show us that.
Yeah, I guess that's a little linked as well with because as I say, he's forgotten that he's asked him. Also linked to the when they talk here about him not using his real name. I think I wonder if is saying something about how the medics, perhaps because they move around so much, they have to deal with so many people all the time, and because they're more aware of people, they might be more aware of people getting injured and dying and leaving because of who they deal with, that maybe they're just having to they don't they try not to see everyone as get as personal with everyone as they might
Yeah,
if you know what
I
I'm
do.
getting at, sort of thing. Yeah, it's a funny one. I've got a bit of information about
Sure,
Edward
yeah.
Babe Heffron as well, if you want some of it. So yeah, Edward Babe Heffron. So yeah, he's from South Philly, and he trained at Fort Benning and joined EZ Company as a replacement after the company returned from Normandy in July 1944. So he's a slight latecomer compared to some of the originals. So yeah.
Okay, and then we're back with Doc again, and he's in a new foxhole. He, crawls into the foxhole and goes, "You guys okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, food. Can you smell it?"
I was gonna say, I was just looking at, I was just watching that sequence whilst you're chatting. Is there, I like that the beginning of this, as he goes into the foxhole, you kind of get a bit of a better glimpse of it, because it's been like covered with material in here, I guess, to keep them warm. So because you see him kind of lifting it up and getting inside, whereas often earlier on, at least, it just seems like it's just a hole in the ground. But this time, he's used bricks and stuff to keep himself a bit warmer. I don't know if that might suggest he's not quite on the front, so he
Right.
doesn't need to be peering out all the time, or he's not his
Exactly.
duty or
And
whatever.
then he's in there with Gordon, and he goes, "There's Gordon, you want me?" He goes, "Oh yeah. Morphine?" "Their platoon's ponied up the contraband. You still looking for scissors?" "Yeah, I am." He goes, "Percanti." He goes, "Percanti?" He goes, "Doc, thank you. Oh, and you better check out Joe Toy out at the OP. He's missing something." He goes, "Thanks." And these guys are keeping warm with their coffee.
Yeah, you see a bit of stuff. Actually, I wonder if that's maybe why they've covered their hole up. I wonder if they've got a little. It does look, you see a little bit of steam coming out. They must have. They
And
might must have some little
probably a little bit
fire
of
going on in
light
there,
there
or a bit of a
also.
gas burner or
So
something.
that's something you need to have, more light discipline and sound discipline, and obviously, as you said, smoke discipline.
Yeah, I mean, it comes into
Correct.
play later on in this episode, doesn't it? In this, it, yeah. I don't know if we're
Not
covering that
100%
ourselves,
sure.
but yeah, it does come in late.
Right. And then
Don't think
Doc
so, no.
crawls up to a different foxhole, and he goes, "You guys okay?" He goes, "They gotta have food. Can you smell it?" He goes, "Toy, you missing something?" He goes, "Home." And then he says, "Ask him to dance." And we hear gunfire in the background. He goes, "Toy, show me your feet." And then Toy turns to McClung next to him and goes, "You watch the goddamn line, McClung." And then Doc says, Where are your boots?" He goes, "In Washington, up General Taylor's ass." He goes, "I don't believe it." He goes, "I can move better in here bare feet, Doc." And he goes, "What happened?" "Well, I took them off to dry my goddamn socks. They got blown to hell, okay? Well, what's your size?" He goes, "9. Just like everybody else." And at that point, Doc then moves on to another one, and he gets to the foxhole with Percanti, and he goes, and Frank Percanti's cleaning his teeth, and he goes, "Frank, you keep cleaning those teeth, the Germans will see you a mile away. Shoot him dead." Percanti goes, "That's right, Pee Wee. You keep laughing." So again, it adds to the realistic view of these characters just by the banter between them and stuff like that. Because this is the type of banter that you would normally here among friends, with a little bit of jabs here and there and stuff like that. It actually works really well to show in this type of situation, this is the way these guys are all reacting.
Absolutely. It adds warmth to the whole thing as well. It's yeah, absolutely. It's got a little bit more information about these last little moments we've looked at is it's kind of explaining a little bit here about partly why they were limited in what they had. But yeah, supposedly the Easy Company had less than a day's notice before they deployed to Baston. So consequently, they were inadequately clothed and insufficiently armed for battle. They were only wearing the battle dress with trench coats. Most of the soldiers didn't have like long underwear or heavy woolen socks, so they had to suffer below freezing temperatures and snowfall with just jump boots that weren't lined, that weren't weatherproof. So it was a real
Right.
common problem.
Yeah, no, I mean this was not a simple place to be in Bastogne. You know, we saw at the end of part five, you know, when I think if I remember correctly, his name is George Rice shows up, you know, with all the extra ammo, and Jimmy Fallon comes and brings all the extra ammo and stuff like that. I mean that was like pooling your resources in order to try and figure out a way of helping as many people out as possible. So yeah, I like that. So did you have anything else you want to say about this 5 minutes in?
Oh, there's one more little fact. Sorry, I'm just reading these all the time. Because
David, don't get me wrong. I love these trivia
yeah,
facts.
no, it's all right. Yeah, and just they because he I talked about the kind of standard soldiers kit that they had was pretty basic, but the medics kit had a little bit more. So the standard medics kit had several bandages of different types, had iodine swabs and sulfur powder, pins, scissors, tape, a thermometer, tourniquet, smelling salts, and emergency medical tags for identifying the wounded. So that was the standard kit, but obviously along the way they lose bits and pieces like the scissors and when they get used or lost or passed around, but that's what they would usually have in the kind of standard initial kit when they were sent out.
Oh well. Okay, that makes sense. Definitely makes sense. Okay, so today's game is World War II trivia potpourri. We're gonna
Okay.
give you a whole bunch of World War II movie trivia potpourri. So you're gonna get movie questions, movie trivia questions.
Okay.
So let's spin the wheel and see what we get. Around and around and around the wheel goes. Where it's gonna stop. Nobody knew. Okay. In the 1981 film The Big Red One, who plays the sergeant commanding this squad?
Oh, the sergeant. Not actually. This is a film I keep meaning to watch and haven't actually watched. I know Mark Hamill's in it, but I don't think he went with the sergeant.
No, he's not.
I
He's not.
can't remember who else is in it. Sorry, can't do this one.
Okay, think of the Dirty Dozen. Does that help you?
No, I'm drawing a blank. Oh, is it? Oh, brain. What's his name? I can't, no, I can't think. Names aren't coming to me at all. Always my weak point.
Okay, his first name starts with an
Oh, Lee
L. Does
Marvin.
that help you?
Hey.
There you go. Perfect. All right, so let's spin the wheel for your next question. Round and around and around it goes. Okay, in what 1942 film does the French national anthem, La Marseillaise, drown out a German drinking song in an American bar?
Casablanca,
That's right.
one of my all-time favorites.
Excellent. All right, let's move on to your third question. And around and around and around goes. In the 1957 film The Wings of Eagles, who plays John Wayne's leading lady?
I don't know this film at all. I have no idea.
Maureen O'Hara.
Oh, okay. I could have guessed. They've done a few films together, actually. I could have guessed that one.
You could have, but you chose not to.
No. I'm terrible with names as well. They just don't stay in my brain.
Okay. That's fair. So, spin the wheel and around and around and around it goes. What is the ploy that is utilized by the Germans in the movie The 36 Hours with James Garner?
I've heard of the film. I think I've got it on Blu-ray, but I've not seen it. I'm so I don't know, I'm afraid. I have no idea.
You should see it. It's quite good. To me, it's a
Okay.
nice
World War II films
little
are not my
gem.
strong point, but really. There's a lot that I haven't seen. I think when I was younger.
You probably just watched all like the Russian
Yeah,
World War
I
II
do have it. I
movies.
say when I was younger, it was one of those genres that I always thought, I don't know, I don't know if I'm really into war movies. But as I've got older, I've kind of warmed to them. I don't know if it's become a bit of a dad genre or something like that, but I'm warming to them a lot more. I'm trying to get more watched, but I've got a lot of catching up to do, I think.
Okay. Well, so the main ploy that they try to do here is the Germans kidnap a high-ranking soldier and try and convince him that the war has been over for years, and they want him to divulge information about the attack at
Okay.
Normandy. Again, it's a great idea and a great concept. You know, they have like all these German psychologists, they're psychiatrists and stuff like that. The whole idea is that they're gonna find a way to get the information. And I won't spoil if they do or don't. And let us spin the wheel for one final time today. Round over one final time for the trivia. Okay, this is interesting. This is definitely an interesting one here. I gotta say this has never happened before, when I've been doing these random
Okay.
trivia. Okay. In the movie
Yeah.
Casablanca, what is Ingrid Bergman slash Ilse Lund's what's her husband's name?
Oh, Victor Laszlo.
Yes, very
So
good.
it's one of my favorites. I've seen it a lot.
I know, but it's
Yeah,
pretty
it's came
ironic
up
that
twice.
it showed up.
I'm lucky.
Again, I have a lot, you know, there's a lot of questions on
Yeah,
this wheel,
a lot of
so it
World War
makes
II
sense.
movies.
And I do have trivia questions from multiple
Horses,
you know, places, so that makes sense. So,
The wheel likes me today. Well, for those two.
apparently. Well, let's see how the daily name that World War II
Oh,
game
yeah.
name that World War II movie game. Right, so let's spin the wheel again. Let's see if maybe it'll be a Casablanca. That would actually be very funny if it comes up to Casablanca. No, it's not Casablanca, sorry. Okay, this is a World War II movie that came out in 1970 with Don Rickles, Donald Sutherland, and John Wayne. And Telly Savalas. Do you know what movie this is?
John Wayne and those guys.
Wait, did I say John Wayne? Clint
Yeah.
Eastwood.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, sorry, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, I thought you
Wow.
said
Okay,
John.
that's fine. Okay, one second,
I was
one second.
like,
Don Rickles, Donald Sutherland, Clint Eastwood, and Telly Savalas.
oh,
Oops.
it's not the Dirty Dozen, it's the other one. I always get mixed up. It kind of reminds me of the Dirty Dozen. Oh, what's it called? Again, I've got the kind of I can see pictures of the film in my head. Oh, what's it called?
What's the main character's name played by Clint Eastwood? That'll tell you the name of the movie. Was under
Oh
18.
yeah, I can't remember. Oh my God, it's so close. Oh shit, I can't remember. I can't. It's just not coming to me. As I say, I can picture Donald Sutherland in that kind of outfit that he wears. I just the name. I just
Please oddball.
okay. I must admit, I've not actually seen it. I just know it. I just know the picture. I know what you're referring to. But
And Don Rickles' character's name is Crapshoot.
okay, that's awesome. Oh no, I can't. It's in that cupboard.
And Clint Eastwood's character's name, well, sorry, Telly Savalas' name is, his character's name is Joe, and Clint Eastwood's character's first name is Kelly.
It still doesn't
That
help.
doesn't
I know
not
because I've
make
not seen it, so the names mean nothing to me.
Kelly's
Kelly's
Heroes.
here, of course. Yeah, that's the one. I always get it mixed up with the Dirty Dozen. That's why. I don't know why. It's just that kind of theme in
Oh,
similar era.
there's no reason to get them
No.
to get those confused.
Yep. Sorry, couldn't do that one. It was tip of my tongue.
Happens.
I know the box set it's in is like literally like behind this wall I'm looking at now as well. I could have looked. It would have taken some rummaging
Well, I'm
then.
glad you did see it. I'm glad you did. Integrity above all. All right. So, David, would you like to once again tell people where they can find David Brooks?
Yeah, you can find my writing at blueprintreview.co.uk where I cover all sorts of films, often on physical media. Yeah, check it out.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Instagram. So everyone have a great weekend. David will be spending the weekend at my place. We'll do a was it the stupid movie marathon? What do you call those?
Kind of trash.
We'll do a weekend of trash, and then we'll be back on Monday to talk more about the Band of Brothers. So everyone, have a great weekend, and until Monday, hurry!
Great.